the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
It's been asked since the beginning of time, we since fallen time, why has God become man? Why does God have flesh? Why does God have a heart that beats and lungs that breathe and a brain that synapses fire? The simple answer to that question is what the scriptures testify to in all the readings that you have heard and in the hymns that you have sung this Holy Friday. For this reason, to die for your sins. God is man so that he can die for you. On Good Friday, this day, we contemplate the unimaginable. We muse about the most mystifying day of all history. We come in strange wonder at the God who bleeds and suffers and dies for the sins of all humanity, for our sins. And so we see his hands. Think about those hands, the same hands which the night before were washing his disciples' feet. Now they are pinned with nails to a crossbeam of this instrument of execution. These are the same hands that formed Adam from the ground of the earth, but now they're stained with blood and dirt. We see his fingers with which he touched lepers and healed them and stuck them into the ears of a deaf man and picked up bread and declared it his body. But now these hands uncontrollably jerk every time he tries to pull himself up on those nails that are through his wrists just to take a simple breath. But this is why God has hands. We see his feet nailed to the cross, bearing the weight of his body as he dies. The same feet that walked from town to town as he taught his disciples, as he healed the sick, as he preached the good news of man's release from sins, captivity, and death. The same feet that Mary anointed with a pound of expensive ointment and washed with her tears and wiped with her hair. These feet are now bound in place. These feet must endure the stabbing pain as they push up on the nail that is piercing them to this wood. And his heel, all the way back in Genesis 3:15, in the act of dying, is crushing the head of the serpent, destroying the kingdom of Satan, and answering for all mankind's sinful rebellion. And this is why God has feet. We see his head, thorn-encircled crown, streams of blood flowing down into his eyes and into his mouth. This was a makeshift crown that was pressed upon his head by a mocking and foolish world. The head that should rightly be crowned with a great majesty and glory of a crown. This head over which had been hung the sign listing the charge that brought him to this place. This is the King of the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth. This head that, like his forefather David, would have been anointed with oil and gladness. But now he hangs his head. We see his face, his eyes, these freshly swelling and bruising eyes and face that were just dealt blows by the high priest officer. Later by the soldiers jeering at him and mocking him to say, "Prophesy, who struck you?" His eyes, which in the beginning looked at all that he had made, and seeing it, declared that it was very good. The eyes that looked upon his creation with mercy and compassion, on the crowds, on his disciples, on the sick, on the dying, upon you and upon me. And his lips, which spoke absolution countless times, but are now dry and cracked and seek any sort of moisture, that he thirsts. He thirsts a deeper thirst than we will ever know. And this same face, mind you, that was kissed by his mother, the same face he now contorts in agony and pain. But this is why God has a face. We can't see his lungs, but we know what is happening to them. They're filling with fluid. The same lungs that breathe life into Adam's lungs. The lungs that in this hanging posture cannot exhale without him pulling his whole body up on the nails to open his airway just to get a breath. His lungs that expel one final breath as he cries out, "It is finished." And he hands over his spirit. And he dies. But this is why God has lungs. We see his bones. His bones, which remain unbroken throughout this whole horrific ordeal. Here's the reason, every reason for every sacrifice, every Passover lamb, every bull for the whole burnt offering, every scapegoat, every ram, every turtle dove, that had to be healthy and intact, with no broken bones and no disfigurement, a perfect specimen of its kind. And then see these soldiers who club the other two crucified sinners and shatter the legs of each of them, and they leave the one in the middle, Jesus. But this is why God has bones. And then we see his side, the most important part of his body, into which we know that the soldiers thrusted a spear into it, causing a river of blood and water to flow out, confirming that he truly was and is completely dead on the cross, that his heart had stopped. Here is the deep sleep of death that has come upon this man on the sixth day of the week. We see this material, this blood and this water flow out of this side of this crucified man that is God. And God will use this blood and water to fashion his own very bride, you the church, and give you to him as his body, as his forgiven saints. And so we see the side of this man, which disbelieving Thomas, we know, in the season of Easter, will be invited to thrust his hand into it. But this is why God has a side. And we do not forget the blood of Jesus, the precious blood that is poured out from his lifeless body, staining this wooden cross, and spilling into the dirt and reddening the soil and watering his creation with life. See the blood that he first shed when he was an 8-day-old infant, undergoing the sign by which all Jewish boys were made Israelites. And we see the blood for which the crowd thirsted and ironically asked for exactly what Jesus wanted them to ask for. May his blood be on us and our children. See that the crowd thirsted, and see that the crowd and this blood foreshadowed a day of atonement. When the blood of this sacrifice was splattered on the mercy seat, on the altar, on the people, on you and on me. And see the blood that he gave to his disciples in the cup that night before, telling them what it was exactly for. I give this to you for the forgiveness of your sins. See, this blood proves that God was indeed truly and fully man. This is the blood by which he is eternal and he is the high priest, that he enters once for all into the most holy places, giving us sinful people access, a way by which we might come to the holy God. And this is why God has blood coursing through his veins. And finally, you hear that word. I mentioned it earlier. It is finished. For while we have just recounted in detail the physical sufferings of our Lord Jesus, we must note, especially on this day, while crucifixion was a most horrific thing to the body, what is happening this day is far greater. God's wrath of all sin, of all humanity, of all time, is being placed and put upon this God-man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says that it is finished, that it is brought to its telos, its goal, its point. This word, it is finished, this means that by this, all Scripture has now been fulfilled, every single word of it. As if to say, the world and the devil, you have done what all that you could do to me. And so I've suffered all that was needful. For everything is fulfilled and everything is accomplished. But we should note well that Christ's suffering is the fulfillment of Scripture and the accomplishment of the redemption and the salvation of the entire human race. It is the accomplished Lamb of God, bearing the sins of the world, slain and yet to be risen on the third day, offered for the sins of the world. This true high priest has completed his offering. The Son of God has given and offered up his body and life as a payment for our sin and has blotted it out completely. God's wrath against us has been completely appeased and quenched. Death has been completely overcome. And the kingdom of heaven has been completely given to us. Its gates are opened. Everything is fulfilled. Everything is completed. And no one may dispute among us as if anything yet remained to be fulfilled and accomplished. So, beloved children of God, on this holy and good Friday, know for certain that this day is no epic tragedy, no Greek tragedy. For remember what Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel of John. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to pick it up. This, my friends, is why God is man. Not primarily to teach you how to be a good person, not to show you what is right and what is wrong, not to set for you a perfect example, not to impart to you some wise teachings. No, it is this, that God is man for you so that he can die as man for you. He has a life so that he can lay it down and believe and know that he will pick it up again in the resurrection. For remember what he said by the words of the hymnist, "All this I gladly suffer for you, and I bring you peace by it." In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.